Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Hi, hello everybody. I'm Dr. Ray Hines, joined here with Blythe Ahlberg. Hey, Blythe.
Hello, hello. How's everybody today? I hope you're doing fantastic. We have a brand new podcast up and coming for you guys. It is called It's Not About the Weight. I like it. I think it's going to be a great topic. You know, this is Cut the Fat Podcast, and we do talk about losing weight. But today, I just want everybody to shift their focus just a little bit. I don't want you to keep waiting until you're thin to start thinking like a thin person, or waiting until you're fit before you start behaving like a fit person. Let's kind of analyze and reevaluate and focus on our thinking, on thinking a little differently when we're making our approach toward weight loss.
Right. You've said to me in the past, a healthy body ends up having a healthy weight.
Absolutely.
And you could even stretch that out and say a healthy mind causes a healthy body, which then causes a healthy weight.
I like it.
So, you know, we oftentimes focus on the weight as our goal, but that may not be the right goal. In fact, the best goal for us is to change our behavior in such a way that is permanent, right? So in order to change our lives, we have to change something that we do every single day. You know, just fasting once isn't going to do it. Just exercising once is not going to do it.
Right. So I've got a few key ingredients, if you will, to help start to shift your focus just a little bit. Some different things to focus on instead of the numbers or the weight or the way your clothes feel even. Let's focus on these few points.
No, go right ahead.
Okay. Number one, visualize and build an image of yourself. Now, you might be somebody who is, you know, you see something in front of you every day and that's the best reminder. Or you may be somebody that is more of a feeler. You know, you can think about buckling that seatbelt on the airplane over you and it goes over a thin waist. Or maybe you hang up your favorite outfit on the back of your bedroom door. So every time you go in and out of your bedroom, you've got your favorite outfit hanging there. And that helps you build an image so you can envision yourself being that thin, fit person.
Now, when we talk about our driving force, our pulling force, oftentimes you'll hear us discuss things like, oh, I see myself as thin or I see myself as fit. And you might draw the conclusion that it's all about how we look. But let me just point this out. For the most part, in general, people are losing weight first and foremost to look and feel more confident. And right. And that's a fact, right, Blythe? I mean, I would love to be able to say, oh, everybody's in it for their health and their wellness. And it's true that we all want to be healthy. We all want to be well. But when it comes down to the key driving force for somebody to really, really want to lose weight, it is almost always, I want to look better. I want to feel more confident, right?
Yes, so, absolutely. That little bit of vanity that you prescribe.
And I just want to say that's okay, because it's not the only thing, right? There are obviously other factors that come into play. And somebody may be sitting out there listening to the podcast saying, you know what? My driving force isn't that. My driving force is I want to be around to dance at my daughter's wedding. Or I want to be around to hang out with my great-grandkids. And it doesn't matter how we get healthy or why we get healthy. What matters is that we get healthy, right?
Right. So absolutely.
You've got to focus on the thing that you want. And if that is washboard abs and that's what you visualize, fantastic. If it's dancing at your daughter's wedding when you're 70, fantastic. We don't care why you get there. We just care that you get there. And the why is important to you. The why is important to your motivation. But as it pertains to just the overall goal, It's all about wellness and health. It's all about that, no matter what you put as the face of your goal, right?
Right, right. Absolutely right. So some of the roadblocks that we put up for ourselves under the whole visualizing and building an image, I think, is we kind of, and I count myself in the we kind of get into these old habits, if you will, like an all or nothing thinking, sort of like, well, you know, if you start your day off with a great breakfast, you know, we know that that kind of helps you get a great rest of the day, and you're more likely to have a healthy lunch, and you're more likely to exercise, and it kind of snowballs. But then there's the opposite of that, you know, if you forget breakfast, you skip breakfast, whatever you plan to eat has already been eaten by somebody else in the family. Let's not have an all or nothing thinking. It doesn't have to be black and white. Reevaluate your thought when you find yourself slipping back into that old, you know, well, I've already blown it today. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, it doesn't matter if I work out now. Let's stop that. Let's stop that obstacle. I think that's a common one that a lot of people put up for themselves.
It's a very weight-centric obstacle, isn't it? Because you're thinking, okay, I just had 1,500 calories worth of a brownie sundae, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to lose any weight tomorrow. Therefore, I'm just going to give in for the rest of the day and eat whatever I want and do whatever I want. So when it's a weight-centric thing, then it's very easy to give up once we feel like we're not going to see a change tomorrow on the scale.
Right.
But if it's a health-centric thing, if you change from the focus of weight to health and wellness, then you can compartmentalize things. So if you ruin one meal, if you just have a huge brownie sundae, you can say, okay, I can be healthier my next meal. I can make my next meal awesome. And so you get out of that cycle of just thinking, oh, it's ruined for the day and I'm giving up.
Right. And that's such a much more positive approach. You know, it'll leave you feeling better about the choices that you're making. You'll be able to give yourself a pat on the back. I think another common pitfall is setting yourself up with should statements like, well, I really should eat healthy, or I really should go to the gym. Instead of when you find yourself saying, oh, geez, yeah, I really should get a workout in today. How about I am getting in a workout today? I'm going to. And even if you don't, it's not the end of the world. But you're setting yourself up for a little bit of a pitfall when you're just holding yourself accountable to a should.
Right. People should all over themselves, right?
Yes, they should all over themselves. Okay, well, let's talk about emotional reasoning. Okay, so if somebody, okay, let's talk about your fat, give me back my shoe story, right? That was something that you heard, so you thought it must be true. Just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. If somebody told me I was a size 11 shoe, I can look at my feet and I don't know darn well that I'm certainly not a size 11 shoe. So remember to kind of take things with a grain of salt, you know, things you hear or, you know, the size on your pants. And this is something that I can speak, you know, definitely that whenever I go to the store, I wear a different size every time. It's just getting ridiculous. I don't care if I wear a size 4, a size 8, a size 2. It's always different. So try to not reason yourself into believing that you're a certain way. Know how you feel, know your goal, know what you're going for, and go on that. Try not to let all the outside things come in and detriment your day.
Right. And that story that we tell ourselves, every one of us is telling ourselves a story. That story can be, I have fat genes. That story can be, I have a slow metabolism. I am always going to be overweight. You know, the list goes on and on. These are all stories that have been given to us by somebody else. And I can assure you that practically every one of those stories is false. So you're right. It's hard for me to break away, even from that, you know, 12, 13-year-old kid who was told, you're fat, give me back my shoe. It really is difficult for me to break away from that. And it's a process that you kind of go through. But once you realize that it is just a story you're telling yourself, it can really take the teeth out and it can open things up for a new direction for you. But not until you get past that story, not until you realize that all it is a movie we run in our brain.
Right.
You know, it's right. Something over we're watching on a screen in our mind.
Absolutely. And that kind of segues into the next one that I wrote down. Magnification of the things you dislike about yourself. Now, I know we all have that one thing, that one maybe body part or that one area where you hold the most fat or area that jiggles or whatever it is, try not to focus. Do your best not to focus on that, because we all have these attributes about ourselves that we are a little insecure about or that we focus on. But if you're focusing on that little bit of belly fat that really, really bothers you, and say you've got the last 10 pounds to go, it's going to take a while. Shift your focus to something else for the time being. And, you know, I feel like this happens a lot with people, is because they're focusing on it, they almost make it more of an issue than it would be if they weren't focused on it.
Right. And even beyond that, Blythe, oftentimes the very thing that we're focusing on, the obsession that we have that we're focusing on, can actually rob us of the result that we want. I'll give you a really good example of that. The belly fat example that you're describing. One thing that people can do is if they start to really obsess about the belly fat, well, they may decide that what they're going to do when they go to the gym is do sit-ups and do 100 sit-ups. And they do their 100 sit-ups, then they get up and they go home, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're focusing on that belly fat is causing them to avoid doing the type of workout that may actually work to help them get rid of the belly fat. Doing crunches isn't going to do anything but swell that abdominal region even more.
Right.
Right? So absolutely, they should be focusing on a total health exercise program and the dietary changes that need to happen. It's not about the crunches. So it's just the way that we get tunnel, you know, we kind of develop this tunnel vision, and that tunnel vision oftentimes leads us in the wrong direction.
Yes, that's exactly what I was getting at. Thank you for summarizing. Okay, so when we started this podcast today, I said, walk around and act every day like you're thin or like you're already as fit as you want to be. So if you are now that fit person, you're going to change the way you look at nutrition. Now, I'm not saying that you have to completely forgo ice cream or the brownie sundae, but what I am saying is, instead of eating the whole pint of ice cream like you might have or maybe an unfit person would do, you stick to one scoop. And, you know, I hate the word moderation because there's just too much to fall under that particular term. But what I like to say is, you know, it's a level of accountability. You want to hold yourself accountable for the food that you're putting in your mouth. And it's not about telling yourself that you can't eat the food. It's about paying attention to portion control. If you know you have a trigger food, if you know the brownie sundae is only going to lead you to another brownie sundae, well, maybe skip the brownie sundae and have something else.
Right. You know, we oftentimes hear people say, you know, ask the question, well, what about fruit? You know, is fruit good or bad? Mm-hmm. And the answer is it's generally good, especially if you are eating all kinds of cookies, cakes, and candies all day long. So, you know, if you're eating a bunch of cookies, cakes, and candies all day long, asking the question whether or not fruit is good is probably not the right time or place, right?
Right.
If you could swap out all the cake, candy, and cookies that you're eating for as much fruit as you can stuff in that belly of yours,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you're gonna fare a whole lot better than trying to avoid fruit and still eat the cookies, cakes, and candies, right?
And that's really freeing to know. You know, some people think that they have to give up everything sweet. Fruit is one of those things that comes in Mother Nature's packaging. That's always going to be superior to any, you know, cakes, candies, whatever else is available out there. So it's a great lateral shift.
Right. And sometimes I know that I have throughout the years been a little bit down on fruit. You know, as we kind of worked into the lower carb approach to eating, the fruit gets caught up in that discussion, right? Well, because yes, there's natural sugars in fruit, and well, maybe that's going to interfere with your results. But the research, and this is a little bit of a new epiphany for me, the research is unequivocal. The more fruit people eat in the research literature, the more weight people have a tendency to lose. So for now, and I would say for the majority of the population, obviously we like to say there's only one true weight fat loss formula, and it's different for everyone. So you've got to really take this with a grain of salt, put it into your lifestyle, test it out, see if it works. But for the most part, the more fruit you eat, the better off you'll be.
Cool. I think most of us have difficulty getting in enough fruits and vegetables. And if you're somebody who's been staying away from fruits, why not treat yourself a little bit? See what happens. So I have some tips and skills that I think will help people who are trying to shift their way of thinking. And the number one thing I could think of is patience. And I know we preach this over and over, but these things take time. And if you're somebody who does eat cookies, candies, and cake all day long, take one of those things out to start. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing. That's getting you back out of that all or nothing, everything's black or white. You know, don't go gung-ho. Don't go 150% because the odds are you're going to fall off the wagon, and then getting back on is always the hardest part. So take out one of those things to start with. So patience, this takes time. Number two is visualization. Think about a specific situation. The best thing I can think of is like going out to dinner and what you would order. Think about it ahead of time. So as you become more comfortable with this idea, you're going to be visualizing, well, let's see, I'm going out to happy hour with my girlfriends. I'll order a soda water to start. And then, you know, I'll allow myself to have whatever, egg rolls or whatever it is. And then, you know, I'll wait. I'll have another drink. And if I feel satiated, I'm good. Just make a plan. Have something ready to go. And same thing with going to the gym. Have a plan when you walk in. Maybe it's not the gym. Maybe it's walking. Maybe it's visualizing taking your dog for a walk after work. You know, the proof is in the pudding, and people who think about these things and plan them into their day, even if you write it down on your list of things to do, you're more apt to do it if you have that planned into your day, right?
Absolutely. And even better, if you can make it a habitual thing where it's systematized. So Mondays, you do this workout. Wednesdays, you do this workout. Friday, you do this workout. Tuesdays, you go for a walk. Thursdays, you go for a walk. Saturdays and Sundays are fun days. You go dancing and do whatever. So you just have this system in place where you don't have to think at all. You just walk in and do. That is the ultimate goal of any lifestyle program, is to have it all systematized.
Awesome. And it simplifies everything. It makes your life so much easier. There's so much less thinking going on about all of this.
Right. And I've talked about in the past how the average person, I think, has like 207 food decisions that they make every single day.
Yes.
And if we can compartmentalize a day into the 7 touch points, whereas it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack one, snack two, and post meal and then bedtime. So post dinner and bedtime. So you have those 7 touch points. These are moments where you can actually impact your metabolism in some way. And impact can come in many different forms. Perhaps if, between breakfast and lunch, for example, you're hungry, then that midday or that mid-morning touch point may be about eating some protein or eating some vegetables at that point. At bedtime, for example, even though that bedtime is considered a touch point, the right thing to do at that touch point may be nothing, maybe just skipping any kind of snack that you would normally have at that time.
Right.
So if you can just think in terms of these 7 points with it throughout the day and give them a time period, so, you know, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., then you – any time in between, you're not thinking about food anymore. So if if you walk by a donut and it's not one of those touch point periods, you don't even have to think about it because you're not at a point where you're supposed to make a decision.
Cool. That actually leads right into my next point, and it was self-control. And I don't want people to think negatively about this. I want people to realize and recognize that every time they walk past that donut and it's not the time to eat it, they need to congratulate themselves for being able to let it go. You know, I want people to recognize and give themselves some props for being able to resist successfully. It's not about, oh, geez, I really need to have self-control. Okay, well, if I only have one bite, you know, that creates a lot of extra thinking. Give yourself a pat on the back every time you pass up something that might have been irresistible to you before.
Right. And I came across some research some time ago where I was actually looking for something else, and I wandered upon this study. And what they were testing was they wanted to look into how self-talk impacted somebody's food decisions. And the hypothesis was that if the people who can kind of talk themselves out of eating would be the ones that would fare better. But what they discovered was very, very interesting. And it led to a technique I call the zombie walk technique. And what this technique was, or what they figured out or found in this study, was that the people who do not think have a tendency to make the best food decisions. Okay, let me kind of explain what that means. So let's say you walk by that donut. The person who's able to not try to talk themselves into or out of eating that food is the one that ultimately makes the best decision. The more people ran through the pluses and the minuses of eating that food in their brain, the more likely they were to actually eat the food. Okay.
Ah, okay.
So keep in mind, these are people that are trying to live a healthier life. So the right decision is not to talk yourself out of eating something. It is to not think at all about it.
Okay.
That's what I call the zombie walk technique. I'll give you another example as to how you can implement this in your life. So when you go home, when you get home from work, you're focused with the decision of, should I work out or should I not work out? The zombie walk technique simply says you just don't think about it. You walk in the house, you clear your mind. You don't talk yourself into exercising. You just clear your mind, just walk right upstairs with a zombie, you know, type mentality, where you're just walking up the stairs like a zombie. You put your exercise, your workout clothes on. You walk down the stairs like a zombie, out the door into your car. You go walk into the gym like a zombie, and you do your workout.
Right. Okay. I love it. The next one is goal setting. Think in terms of small goals. And I know this is probably repetition, because small goals are always the ones that are the easiest to measure or the simplest to measure. And every time you achieve your small goal, stick a $10 bill in your pedicure jar, or, you know, reward yourself somehow, but not with food. The next one is journaling. Keep not just a journal of food. I know when I say journaling, everybody probably goes, okay, been there, done that. That's how most people react when I say log your food. But I'm not talking about logging your food. I'm talking about keeping a written account of your thoughts, your feelings, your actions. And then if you decided to eat, and why? This will bring a whole new level of awareness as to what your triggers are. You may not even be aware of what these are because you're doing the zombie walk in the other direction. So just keeping a small journal may be something that can help you kind of pinpoint those and steer the other direction. I heard you giggle. Did you think that was funny?
Yeah, it's funny.
Assertiveness, learn to say no. And this is a big one that I learned when I was getting ready for bodybuilding shows. So I put a big gold star. You know, I am supported by the people who are around me. In fact, I was always around bodybuilders. I was working in the gym. So it's not like I was around unhealthy people that didn't support my goals. But I will tell you that whenever it was somebody else's cheat meal, they invited me to come along and expected that to be mine as well. I had a schedule that I was sticking to, and I had reasons for doing things. Right now, you know, my husband and the kids and I, we all go out on Friday nights to dinner. That's our one night. I save my lemon meringue pie or whatever it is that I want, my Cinnabon, for Friday night, because that's just what we do. I've always got girlfriends asking me to go to happy hour. I've always got people who want to go have a meeting at a dinner place or a lunch place. And I just had to learn to say, you know what? It's not what I'm doing right now. And after you do it a few times, it gets simpler. It's not that you can't join those people, but you won't feel the pressure of eat this with me, drink this with me.
Right. Nobody wants to be the one that takes everybody else's buzz down.
You know? Right. And, you know, I find that after you do it a couple of times, they're like, oh, yeah, well, Blythe's probably not going to drink, but she's still fun. She'll still come. Right. And so that's kind of a level that I set myself at. And that's something that you have to work your way up to. But being assertive and letting people know that you've got a goal and you are living a fit life and you are exercising every day. And if they want you to go to a movie instead, you know what? Catch the later movie, because you've got a plan for your life already. And learning to stand up for yourself is something that takes a practice.
it does take practice. And, you know, I've said this in the past. So one way that I like to teach people this is, let's say you walk into the coffee shop, and this is something that actually I had to do myself. You know, I'd go into the coffee shop and say, hey, you know, can I have a large coffee, you know, and no room. And they hand me my coffee, and like half the cup is empty, you know, for, you know, to give you for adding milk. I'm like, right. I asked for no room. Normally, you know, it used to be I would just take the cup and, you know, take my lot in life and, you know, drink my little half cup of coffee. But now then I realized, you know what, that's not good for me. I need to stand up for myself in small ways so that when the, you know, that we can ultimately work up that ladder to the big ways. And so now every time that they do that, they bring me back a half a cup of coffee when I ask for coffee with no room. I simply very politely say, hey, can you fill this up to the top for me? Yeah. And you would be surprised how good that feels if you are used to just letting that type of thing go. And if you believe that that's not going to have an impact on other areas of your life, you are sorely mistaken. You know, a lot of us are having problems with our weight, for example, because we are doing so much for other people in our lives that we're not giving ourselves the time and the focus that we need. And we like to say, you know, the best thing you can do for your family or for your career or for your education, whatever, you know, your excuse is to keep breathing. Right?
Yes,
the best thing you can do for your kids, yeah, I get it. You have soccer practice, you've got a school events, you've got this, that, this, and that. Doesn't help them if you're not breathing. So the best thing you can do for your kids is to keep breathing.
Yeah. And I really encourage, especially those new moms and new dads out there, because, well, having a baby is a huge life changer. And once you do have children, or maybe it's not even a child, maybe it's a new job that just monopolizes your time. You know, you really have to make time for you. And it might be something that you choose. And I encourage everybody out there listening to pick one thing in your life that you just kind of let slide every day, like raise half cup of coffee, and stand up for yourself and see how that feels. And it's quite empowering, no matter how small it may seem. It's quite empowering to find something like that.
It is.
And change it. I think that's a great podcast. That's all I have today. As far as notes go, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Just one more point, and that is this. You know, we oftentimes talk about the macronutrients, right? We talk about carbs, fats, proteins in our diet, and we're always trying to find the right percentage and the right mix. Well, how about if we could throw all that out? And in fact, if I might even venture to say that the best approach to successfully losing weight is to throw all that out and simply do one thing, and that is focus on eating more whole foods. For the most part, most of us who are dealing with a weight problem are doing so because we eat too many refined foods. Mm-hmm. If we simply separate the diet into refined and unrefined foods, and we focus on more of the whole unrefined foods, that oftentimes alone is enough to see dramatic change.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Focus on whole foods. You know, instead of focusing on weight loss friendly foods like low cal foods, which are ultra processed,
right?
We focus on just, okay, let's focus on prime foods. You know, we've talked about this, I think, many, many, many podcasts ago. The prime foods are basically foods that are in the form and in the shape and in the color of what is, you know, provided by nature. So yeah. An apple, not applesauce or apple juice. A watermelon, not a watermelon flavored cupcake. You know, water, not soda. You know, so
yes. When
we're focusing on consuming whole foods, that is oftentimes all that you need to know. You don't have to focus on percentages at that point. Oh, okay, I'm getting 20% carbs, 30% fat, and 50% protein. You just eat whole foods, and the nature takes care of the rest.
Talk about simplifying. You know, I would like everybody out there to just give it a try. Give it a try. Go a whole day eating whole foods. You will feel amazing.
Just as a trial, and then, you know, for the long term, that's probably not the best approach to just jump in and say, I'm going to eat all whole foods from this point forward. But as Blythe pointed out in a previous part of this podcast, maybe just focus with one meal. Okay, I'm going to eat one meal that is nothing but whole foods. And you
Perfect.
Start there.
That's a great start. Awesome.
All right, I'm good.
I think that was full of golden nuggets. Woo!
Good job, Blythe. That was a good topic for the day.
Thank you. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Cut the Fat Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at CTF Podcast. Also, our website, www.cutthefatpodcast.com. Ray's been working up some stuff on there. Do we still have the early entry for people who are interested in our coaching club?
It depends on when you're listening to this podcast episode, but
of course,
just just go to cutthefatpodcast.com and hop on the list there, and you will be we will send out an email whenever we go live and are accepting new members into the Cut the Fat Coaching Club. Cool.
Awesome. I'm so excited. You guys all have a great day.
All right, see ya.
Bye.